It's time for our weekly segment with Bryce Cherry of the Waco Tribune Herald.
4:30 is the time. Bryce Cherry would rather be watching Game 4 of the American League Championship Series, but it was wiped out. Game 4 tomorrow night. Bryce, your thoughts about having to wait a day after the win, and also the way that they're going to set up the rotation the rest of the way, depending on how many games are left in the series.
Yeah, you know, I'm fine with waiting a day. John Smoltz actually talked about it on the broadcast, but it may benefit the Astros in terms of having that extra day because the way the Yankees stack up their pitching and they use so many of their bullpen guys, now they're having to potentially use those guys on, you know, in four straight days. And that could, you know, that could be an advantage for the Astros. However, I know it's going to be a tough series, you know, throughout. I mean, obviously that was a big win yesterday with Gerrit Cole on the mound, but I'm not counting any chickens yet.
I mean, are you, how do you brace? Because I do this with a guy that you know is 50-50 coming back. Like, do you not try to get too excited about him?
Oh, in terms of Cole and
yeah.
him not maybe being an Astro next year? I mean, I always hold out hope that they can make it work. I mean, it sounds like Jim Crane has been willing to, you know, maybe open up the pocketbook a little bit more and you know, spend. I do feel like Greinke is probably Gerrit Cole insurance, you know. I think that's partially why they picked him up, you know, so that they could go into next year with at least, you know, two big aces. But that guy, I mean, I think you back the truck up and pay him whatever he wants because I think he is filthy.
He is. I said this, and it means I'm going back a long, long time. I mean, 31 years, right, Paul? Is it Hershiser? Is that right? 88?
Yeah.
He's in an Oral Hershiser type groove.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. He is. He's just insane. The numbers that he's been putting up are crazy in terms of like however many innings that he's pitched, that he's had a strikeout, and I mean, I don't know, 19-1 in his last 20 starts or whatever it is. I mean, they're just ridiculous. And I mean, he had 300 plus Ks this year, and the way his stuff just moves, and I mean, it's not even fair. You could be up there with a tennis racket, you wouldn't hit it.
All right, Bryce, Baylor football making turnovers happen week in and week out now. And that was something that they could not do to save that. Like, they could have given the team $50 and they'd be like, no, sorry, we're not going to do it. Like, there's no way they could have done it before. What's been the biggest change in your estimation?
That's a great question. And I'm not sure even Baylor has been able to answer it in terms of, you know, why some games they might get one and why some games they might get three. And I mean, Matt Rhule talked about, you know, we coach it, but at some point players just have to go make plays. And I think you've seen guys go make plays. Jordan Williams has been huge in that regard, you know, picked one off in that game against Tech, but also batted the one that Clay Johnston picked off. To me, so we all know, we've watched football enough. We know what a big deal the turnover battle is. But in writing that story for this week, you know, I'm doing research and looking up stuff. And the thing that just jumped out, and again, I don't know if it was – it's not like it was surprising, but it was sort of validating just how important turnovers are. So under Matt Rhule, Baylor is 5-0 when they win the turnover battle, which is obviously not that many games. They haven't won that turnover battle much. And even, you know, forcing three the other day, they still came out even because obviously Charlie Brewer had a rough game. So in games that it's a stalemate, you know, even on turnovers, Baylor's 8-5, which is a pretty good record and, you know, gets you to a bowl if that was a season. And in games where they lose the turnover battle, they're 1-12. So obviously it very much correlates to winning.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, what was your take on some of what's been after the game The concerns, obviously, there's calls in games. And yes, the butt fumble was a bad call. The perhaps intentional grounding should not have been taken up, should have counted. I don't know. I don't like digging into certain calls because it then just leads into the gutter. But your thoughts about Kirby Hocutt, his statement about the communication with the Big 12 then reprimanding him. Mac Rhodes was on with us yesterday and said that he was kind of disappointed in it because it kind of took away from Baylor's loss. What's your thought about all that?
I think you hit on some of my thoughts there. I think I agree with you on that, Smoke. First, on Hocutt, he just did what he had to. I mean, I look at that as, you know, there are times as a basketball coach when you feel like you need to get a technical foul, you know, to just sort of either let your point be known or, you know, fire your team up in the process or whatever it might be. And I think that's Kirby Hocutt taking one for the team. He had to do that. You know, I don't, they're not obviously supposed to share what the Big 12 told them, but you know, what's he going to do? Obviously he's going to let people know that, hey, they admitted it. They got this call wrong. But I really resonate with a lot of things that Matt Rhule said in his press conference the other day, which is A, these officials have an incredibly difficult job. They're scrutinized like crazy. Nobody ever says after a game, man, those officials really had a great game today. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a great game, they don't say anything. But and honestly, even with super slow-mo and, you know, zoom it in on things and all that, they still get the calls right. You know, what, I don't know, 90% plus of the time? Not to say there's not bad calls, and obviously the one, you know, the fumble that was negated for Tech was a huge call for Tech. But as Matt Rhule said, I mean, you know, things happen in a game. You kind of just have to keep playing and try to overcome them.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, no, I was
What do you think is – you mentioned the turnovers, and if you get turnovers, you get a couple of turnovers in Stillwater. They have a stretch where every team they've played this year has not scored on the opening drive. That sets the tone at home and obviously helps on the road, so the crowd's not lathered up, and they will be. And my God, in Stillwater, they'll be more than lathered up, as they are at all great football stadiums. But traveling on the road, defense, a great running game, or experience, what would be the better one to have?
If you have to pick just one, I would say probably defense. But I think you want to try to combine that defense and running game together. And, you know, Baylor's had occasional issues with running the ball and some of that, you know, I still feel like their offensive line is that I-35 construction project that George De Leon has talked about before. It's ever ongoing. The offensive line is still a work in progress, and I think that sometimes leads to erratic running game, you know, totals. But if you can run the ball and you can play defense, I think it's huge because, hey, I'm going to bring up, you know, the Texans and Chiefs game the other day.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times there in that fourth quarter where I was just loving it as a Texans fan because I'm sitting there and they're showing shots of Patrick Mahomes over there just kind of in angstiness, you know, if that's a word. I don't think it is, but he was just chewing, you know, ready to get it back in the game, and the Texans were running the ball, and he wasn't able to get back on the field, and that's how you win.
Yep, I agree. It calms the crowd down because you – throwing it around, you throw a pick, you get a sack, it gets them excited. You can do that, make it a play on a running game too. But I just feel like, but the defense, you can go in there, or running game can go in there and slow the clock down, keep, as you mentioned, the opponent off the field, especially when they're at home. Paul, you had...
Yeah. Bryce, obviously you're going to be a fan of the Houston Roughnecks in the XFL, and you wrote an article about the XFL locals. What do you think about this league? We had Larry Rose on just a second ago, and he seems fired up about it.
Oh, love Larry Rose. I'm glad to hear that y'all had him on. I think we may have talked about this before, but I'm not a big need more football in my life kind of guy. I feel like I've got enough of it with high school, college, and NFL, you know, to keep me busy. For the football diehards that just can't get enough, I think it's going to be good, but it all boils down to, you know, ratings and money. And I mean, the money thing is, you know, it's just whether they're going to have enough to sustain it. And I'm skeptical on that, but, you know, they do have some pretty good people involved. I think that has, you know, that bodes well for the league when you talk about, you know, Oliver Luck and Bob Stoops and people like that. It certainly is a difference from the first XFL when it was, you know, Vince McMahon and company. Mm-hmm. So I guess, is he still involved?
Oh, yeah. He's the founder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good for guys like a Larry Rose and like a Katie Cannon and Cyril Richardson and others that are, you know, getting a chance to play pro ball. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, I may turn on a game, but, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'll probably be watching the Rockets or something.
Yep. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Bryce Cherry with us.